Chase and Big Joe, Monday edition, hour number three, live from Tennessee Brew Works. Having a good time here today. Not a lot of nice conversation and debate. We say hello now to John McClain, who is down in Houston, joins us as we are, by my math, 9 days away from the draft, something like that. John, it's almost here because we're all tired of talking about the same things. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are fantastic. Any concern in your mind with the reports that Reuben Bain was in a car accident a couple of years ago that killed someone? He was acquitted of any wrongdoing. No charges were filed, all of those things. But the story just now coming out, I have a feeling NFL teams were already aware of this, but does it concern you at all?
Well, it should concern people because he got another speeding ticket. According to Trey Wallace of OutKick, he got one last year, 2025. So, and it was one where he's driving in triple digits. So, yes, it better be concerning that if a guy is a wreck that kills a woman and he comes back and he didn't learn from it, you got to worry about something like the size of his short arms.
I know in my years of talking to Floyd that, you know, he would basically in these pre-draft, part of the pre-draft process, would basically have the conversation of, is there anything that I need to know that's going to make me or you look stupid? Is that, I mean, that's pretty much the standard operating procedure with NFL teams, right?
Well, it is, and they have private detectives looking into people. You know, you look at James Pierce last year. He wasn't on a lot of teams' draft boards because of his off-the-field issues, the quote-unquote baggage that he brought. Look what's happened to him, even though he had 10 sacks, first time they've had double digits in a long time. And when you take a chance on somebody, and Jalen Carter, they took a chance on him at Philadelphia, and so far it seems like he's been a great player. And he hasn't had any issues, but you have to worry about somebody who has more than one incident. And the fact that, according to OutKick, he had that second one, which most people must not realize or they're not reading OutKick, and that would be very, very concerning. Just like any time you take a guy from Georgia, and those guys that if they've had heavy feet when they're driving, you got to worry about that. Now, the Texans, they love Georgia players. They don't have any, I don't think, who've acted like they've been at the Indy 500. But you have to worry about their decision-making, their maturity, what they're doing after hours when they should be back in their homes. But, yeah, that is a big red flag. I wonder what would have happened. You remember Laramie Tunsil? When that former girlfriend blew the whistle on him, if that had come out, say, 3 or 4 days before that and everybody had time to react, he might have fallen even farther.
Yeah, that's all crazy. John, I want to ask something. This is not football related. I'm just curious. Do people in Houston care about the Rockets in the NBA, that they're in the playoffs?
They sell out every game this year. Wow. So, yeah, they care about it. They've won 9 of their last 10. They've got the same record as last season, even though they didn't have their point guard and they lost two other players during the season. People are fired up because the Astros are stinking it up. A lot of people are turning their attention to the Rockets, including me.
Good. John, we had an interesting debate in the last hour about Diego Pavia, Fernando Mendoza, you know, quarterbacks coming out in this draft and everything. You know, the seventh rounder, you know, the percentage of a guy making the team at seventh round draft choice is about right around 10%. If you're a team that could see a little, maybe a hybrid offense with a Diego Pavia, would you take a flyer on somebody like that in the seventh round?
The Gary Kubiak, who's one of the best offensive coaches I've seen, if he saw a quarterback that had one thing that he thought he could develop and help the guy become an NFL quarterback, whether it was a starter or a backup, he would take him in a low round. Most of the time it didn't work, not like other positions, but the fact that Pavia is a winner, leader, what he's accomplished, before he got to Vandy, after he got to Vandy. I think he'll definitely be drafted. The height doesn't matter as much as it used to. And if Pavia, he should not want to be drafted in the seventh round. He should want to be not drafted so he can be a free agent and he can get more signing bonus if you have multiple offers, and I think he will if he's not drafted.
With a seventh rounder, there's not a lot of draft commodity out there. If you get drafted, you still – would a team be with you longer if they thought you got more upside because they did waste a draft choice on you as opposed to being an undrafted guy?
No, I don't think that'll have anything to do with it, Joe. If they have to think about it like this, you don't draft him, but you have to give him $25,000 as a signing bonus when you would have to give him $10,000. You know, that's what's most important is how much you have to pay him. But I don't think the team would draft him. He's destined for a practice squad, and he better get used to it. And I think that it would be good for him. And there's teams out there that want winners, guys that help transform not just an offense, but a program. And I'm sure Clark Lee's given him a great recommendation. So Bobby is going to end up somewhere for his sake. I hope it's with a team that has a really good quarterback's coach as a head coach, like Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell. Go somewhere instead of a team that's going to be changing the coaches after the first year, and then the ones that liked you are gone. And I wish him all the luck. And if he gets drafted higher, that's even better.
John, the Ty Simpson thing is intriguing to me. I've seen him go anywhere from he could go second to the Jets or he might fall to midway second round. If you're Ty Simpson, and John, you know the NFL very well, where would you like to land if you're Ty Simpson?
Well, first of all, you would not want to go to the Jets.
Right.
You know, that first contract, okay, it looks good, but the second contract is the big one. And if you're drafted by the Jets, it looks like Aaron Glenn will probably be out. They'll bring in an offensive coach the next year. They'll change the system, the terminology, and everything you learned will be out the window. He should hope it's like Dan Marino in 83, Ben Roethlisberger in 04. You fall and you end up with a much better team or even Aaron Rodgers going to the Packers, and I think it was, can't remember, it's 23rd or 28th.
Right.
So, yeah, your ego has to take a little hit, and you don't make as much money right off the bat. But, boy, if it works out for you, you got a chance to make the big bucks on the second contract. Just look at a guy like, my mind's gone blank, 49ers quarterback.
Purdy.
Yeah, being Mr. Irrelevant and then getting $256 million. You know, I can't tell you another time that's happened. But if you're quarterback, you don't want to go to the worst teams generally.
He is John McClain from Houston. We'll have more with him coming up next here from Tennessee Brewworks. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. John, I probably ask you this every year around this time, but it comes up with our listeners. Why is the NFL the only sport that does free agency before the draft?
Oh, boy, that is a great question. I've never thought about it other than to say that's just the way it is. I think they, instead of seeing who, it has to do with timing because you want to get free agency out the way and then focus on the draft and then see what holes you need to fill in the draft. That's the only thing I can think about. I've never heard it even broached that they might be considering doing free agency after the draft.
Well, and the other thing, too, when you look at, I mean, baseball does their draft in the middle of the season, but hockey and the NBA do it, you know, 3 or 4 weeks after the season ends. You know, why hasn't the NFL considered that? I know they got the combine, you know, a few weeks after the Super Bowl, but, you know, I've always wondered, could they do it in late March, early April, rather than late April, early May, which I feel like it almost feels later every year, even though it's about the same.
I think they would tell those other sports, We are number one by far. Why should we give a rat's ass about anything you do? And if anything, you should do it like this. I'll tell you something I just thought about, Chase, while you were talking. If you have the draft before free agency, there's a good chance all those players getting all those free agent dollars are not going to give it. Why should we give it to a wide receiver when we just drafted Joe Doakes in the first round? And yeah. I think some of it might have to do with the Players Association likes it the way it is. And it's amazing, though, could they make more mistakes if they move free agency to after the draft with all the time and money put in it? I think I told you guys it used to be when it was 17 rounds, they would do it in December, and they'd have the draft in New York, and then they'd all pile into a bus and go over to Giants Stadium, Yankee Stadium, and see who the Giants were playing and watch the game. That's just hard for me to imagine.
That is something. John McClain's with us today. John, where do you think A.J. Brown lands, and can he go back to the Eagles, or is that broken?
I just heard a great thing today that I can't even remember who was saying it, that and it was about Jalen Hurts and this big expose that ESPN had about Hurts. Jalen Hurts has been to two Super Bowls, and he's won one. And it's like they're always wanting to change him. Well, why should he change for doing things that he's not comfortable with?
Right.
Shouldn't the coaching adjust to what he's comfortable with, especially at this stage of his career? And one of the things they say is toughest on a quarterback in this day and age is selfish wide receivers who make a big deal when they don't get the ball. And it's pretty obvious to everybody A.J. Brown's been a distraction, because they're always worried about him. And they say then quarterbacks go out of their way to get the ball to the player who's whining the loudest, especially if he's a friend of his. So I think he's gone. I think he's gone around the draft. I think it'll be New England. Mike Vrabel loves him. They did not re-sign Stephon Diggs, who had over 100 catches. They have a big need there for Drake May. It just seems like a natural fit.
I agree with that. John, a guy that we love around here, Juwan Jennings, he's still out there in the free agent market. And it blows my mind that somebody's not taking him. I haven't heard that he's, asking for the moon for everything. But I'm curious why nobody has signed him.
There's two reasons it could be. One, could be health issues. Number two, it could be that he and his agent think he's worth more than they do. After that initial wave, the farther we get closer, and it'll be after the draft, a team that didn't get a receiver, and then they will pivot to the other receivers who are available, and they still won't get a lot of money. And I would think Jennings would be a really nice fit there for Cam Ward, because they want to do everything they can to help Cam Ward.
Right.
Cam Ward's a great example of what I was talking about earlier. You go to a bad team early on, your coach gets fired, you don't have stability, you have new terminology, a new system, and you're hoping now that Brian Daboll can do really well for Robert Saleh. But then if he does, he's going to be gone in a couple of years. Then you'd have another one coming in there. And that's why some people say your head coaches should be offensive coaches who call the plays. Then if you lose a coordinator, what's the big deal? The bottom line, though, if they do well, Daboll gets another head coaching job, it means because they're winning. And that's the number one priority. But what they don't want to do is keep changing the system on him, which happens to too many.
We're talking with John McClain down in Houston. It's looking like more and more Travis Hunter is going to play corner, and that's going to be his permanent position. According to the Jags, is that the right move for them to finally pick a position and not try and do both?
Well, absolutely, because you can get receivers. They're everywhere. But you can't get locked down corners. And if indeed he is one, and we'll know better once he plays one position. And that was great for showmanship and playing for Deion. I wondered, as a rookie, when he was healthy, what meetings did he go to? You know, right. Position players are in meetings with their teammates, going over practice, going over game plans. Did he spend an equal amount of time? Does that mean he was learning half as much? Was he freelancing on the field? I think it is very smart for Liam Cohen to move him to cornerback full time.
Yeah, can you think off the top of your head, is Deion the last great player to excel at, you know, multiple sides of the ball?
He did, but he was still, you know, he was a corner. He was a corner. He had great athleticism and speed and a monster ego. And when he wanted to try offense, they let him do it. The most impressive thing about Deion is he's playing a football game, and as soon as it's over, he takes a helicopter to go play a baseball game for the Braves. That was the most impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy what he did in that documentary about doing all that and how some of the teammates were like, hey, you should commit to this and commit to that. I just think, John, if you've got an extraordinary talent like a Deion or Travis Hunter, use him, right? I mean, just put him out there. You're trying to win games, and he's a great player. Might not put him out there and do that. Look, you can't worry, John. You've covered this a long time about guys getting injured. If they get injured, they get injured. But for Travis Hunter, I mean, we haven't seen something like this, John, in a long time at that level of talent. So I'd use him both ways if I could.
Well, I think he hadn't done it in the NFL. He did it in college. He came up. He wasn't spectacular at either one of them. And I'm sure now they think if they move into corner, which is a lot tougher to play than wide receiver, then you're going to see him be the kind of player he was when he won the Heisman Trophy. And and the injury factor to me, it was the taxing it was putting on him mentally, trying to keep up with both in the NFL and, of course, what it was doing to him physically, just the fact that he had to do so much in practice and the NFL, and eventually, if he hadn't been hurt, he'd been hit a lot by some guys bigger, stronger, and faster than he played against at Colorado.
He is John McClain from Houston. John, appreciate it as always. We will talk to you next week as we finally reach draft week in the NFL.
Can't wait, guys. Thank you very much as always.
Absolutely. John McClain joins us every Monday at 2 o'clock here on the Chase and Big Joe show, and it'll be nice to actually get into, all right, we're here.
Yeah.
What's going to happen now? And he's obviously got some good draft stories from over the years as well that we can get him to tell. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're live at Tennessee Brew Works today, which is our off-season sponsor. And appreciate them for being on board. We'll come back with more here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game.